So, Keir Starmer is to ban under-16s from major social media apps. We've been expecting this, and it is about to happen, but the rules and the regulations that are going to come in are somewhat stricter than was previously expected. It's a major policy shift, far tougher than previously briefed. The Prime Minister is going to announce that teenagers will be banned from all the main social platforms. There are other rules and regulations, and we'll talk about that with my guest now, Fevzi Turkalp, the editor for GadgetDetective.com, who joins us on the line. Hello, Fevzi.
Morning.
So what do you make of this, then? This major policy shift, tougher than previously briefed, under-16s are going to be banned from all the major social platforms.
Yeah, so we haven't had the full announcement yet. I mean, I've heard it being described as Australia Plus, in other words, what Australia did, but much more. So, for example, there's talk that it will include an under-18s ban on the use of romantic or sexual AI chatbots, for example.
Yeah, what is that? I've never heard of such a thing.
So there are chatbots that can talk dirty to people, basically.
Really?
And, yeah, absolutely. And they're understandably looking to ban access to that, not just for under-16s, but under-18s.
Yes.
And I think what's interesting about that is it shows how hard it is to legislate, because you quite rightly say, what's that? Well, that probably didn't exist a couple of years ago. So the landscape of what needs to be regulated keeps changing, and arguably faster than legislative programs can legislate. So there is that. There's also talk of a possible curfew or late night restrictions, even on older teenagers, and then limitations on certain features such as live streaming, messages that disappear, which can be used for bullying, location sharing, adult stranger contact. So there's a lot that may be announced. I worry that it's being announced literally days after the consultation closed. I think the consultation closed on the 26th of May, and I worry that we have a beleaguered prime minister who needs a win.
Well, it's going to be subject to what's called a judicial review, and as far as I'm aware, that will look into the exact thing that you just mentioned. Has there been enough time for the government to come to a considered opinion after the official review had concluded? But, you know, Keir Starmer says that 90% of parents, according to this review, want something to be done. So he's going to go
ahead
and
do it. Well, he would say 90%. It's actually 83%.
Right,
okay. It's not quite 90. It's closer to 80. I don't think acting quickly is in itself a problem if they're making the right decisions.
Well, let's look at what the experience has been there then, because that will give us an indication whether it is or is not perhaps the right decision. So do you know much about what Australia's
So there's been a study that shows us around 60% of under-16s still have access to one or more social media platforms. So they've 60% has circumvented it. So the way I would look at this is it's a bit like a speed limit. It's not when you set a speed limit, it's not because you expect everyone necessarily to stay under it, but it sets the expectation, and some people might go 10 miles an hour over it, but maybe they're not going to go 30 miles an hour over it.
Right.
But I would extend that thought and say, okay, speed limits can be a good idea, but it's not an alternative to making sure that the car is safely designed and built.
Yes.
And in that way, my worry, and actually the worry of several children's charities who have been critical of what's expected to be announced, is that this will distract from not only enforcement, but pressure on these companies to make their products safer, and not just safer for children, but safer for all of us in a way that is not addictive for any of us, and that doesn't cause the sort of difficulties that really, you know, we wouldn't expect. If this was a drug, we would expect it to be provably safe, you know, within reasonable
measures. If it was a drug and so many of our children had become addicted to it, then we would be calling the army out to deal with the dealers, wouldn't we? But we've allowed these media companies to get away with deliberately making children addicted to their product. There was an article in the New York Times about sort of an inside look into how these media organizations operate. And they deliberately, during school day, tried to get the kids' attention while they were in class and to make them engaged with the various social media apps by saying, you know, what's in your school bag, or what are you learning now, or give us a photo of your homework and stuff like that, and like pestering them to stop paying attention to what they were being taught and to pay attention to their phone. So it's almost like a...
It's almost like they're doing it on purpose.
It's not almost like. They are doing it on purpose. It's like the cigarette companies who always said, oh, no, you don't get cancer from our products. It's perfectly healthy, while knowing exactly what they were doing.
Well, there are a number of what they call bellwether cases coming through the courts now, primarily in the United States of America. The first of them has already found that the social media companies involved were liable, because the court cases up until this point had been about content. You know, someone posted something harmful and they allowed it or they didn't take it down. These cases are about the design and the deliberate design to make them to make them addictive.
And it was a small. Sorry to interrupt, but it was a small school district. And I think they wanted something like $3 million for the damage and then a penalty of $60 million for, you know, for deliberately trying to engage their children like that. And they won that case, or at least the media companies settled, which there was only about 1,000 students in this area. So multiplied by even just America... Mm-hmm. I mean, you aren't going to put the social media companies out of business, but you're going to seriously impact their bottom line.
Well, I think, you know, these are bellwether cases, and they will lead to thousands and thousands more cases where there is success, where the principle is established. And not to say they'll win everyone. They don't have to win everyone. But it will get to a point, I predict, where it's cheaper to make the product safe than to pay out on these cases. So I do think that there's a lot that can be done. You know, they need to do away with autoplay, infinite scroll, manipulative notifications, as you've alluded to, but also the recommender system, the algorithm that they, at the moment, when Ofcom goes to these companies, they get not much more than a press release out of them as to what they're doing and how the algorithm is safe. What they need is for Ofcom and independent researchers to be able to get into the weeds with the data and see exactly how these systems are working. And the onus should be shifted. They need to prove that it's safe.
But the algorithms sorry to interrupt again.
Okay.
the algorithms are among those companies' most valuable assets, aren't they? I mean, TikTok famously had an algorithm that the other social media companies could not match. And they found it to be, TikTok had an unfair advantage, which is one of the reasons why the Americans wanted to have it banned and so on. So they're not going to give that up easily, are they?
Well, no, and that's why you have laws, and they don't have to like it. Frankly, they can remove their service from the UK if they really want to. But the other way of doing this is to ban the business model, to say that business models that are predicated on keeping people viewing the screen for as long as possible could be banned. I mean, there are ways of going at it that don't need them to get into the weeds with the details. But I think that a sort of arguably a more reasonable approach is to say, well, you prove to us that it's safe, just like a drug company would need to prove that their product was safe.
Yes.
That you don't launch a drug on the world and then when it starts killing people, say, oh, sorry, we'll modify it.
Yes.
That's not the way. And the comparisons to cigarettes, tobacco companies and drug companies are actually very strong. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that they have in common, and the history of it. I think the difference is that these are products that develop and change much more quickly than anything like cigarettes changed, right? So what might have taken decades for a product to evolve to have a more dangerous formulation or something now can happen in days. So I also think that there need to be some principles laid down. So it shouldn't be, here are the 10 social media companies that we're going to ban. It should be, what are the criteria that we're applying? Because there will be court cases over that as well, I predict.
Yes.
That well, some of these companies, I mean, I wouldn't expect Reddit to be banned, but it probably will be. But I think that Reddit is a website that is such a valuable resource that it would be, very hard to justify banning it. And yet they have in Australia, and they possibly will in this country as well. But I think my major worry is, well, twofold. One is that this will be used as cover not to go after the companies themselves to make sure that their product is safe. My other worry is the effect it has on adults and not only the wider harms, but the effects on adults. So we're all going to have to prove our age to make sure that we're not under 16. We might have to part with our identity. The internet may become where are your papers type environment. And they may go after things like VPNs. The government has already got Ofcom monitoring VPN use. So VPN is a virtual private network. Mm. There are many legitimate uses for VPNs. In fact, if you went into a cafe or you used public Wi-Fi on a train or anything, I would implore you to use a VPN to protect yourself and your data from being stolen whilst you're on an open network with all sorts of people you don't know, right? Mm. But the temptation will be that they'll go after VPNs. They're already monitoring it. These sorts of moves, you see, it's very easy to say, think about the children. And of course, we should think about the children, but we also have to think about the health of our democracy, about whether we are monitored by the state and controlled by the state. So these are things that also have to be balancing arguments in all of this.
Yes, there's also the issue of the amount of personal information that you're going to have to upload to social media sites in order to prove how old you are, with all the security concerns that go with that.
Yeah, exactly right. So there is some interesting research being done by companies like Apple, who obviously make iPhones, and I dare say Google is probably doing something similar, to see if there is a way of verifying someone's age without having to verify their identity. Think of it this way. When you use, an iPhone and you make a transaction with it, use Apple Pay, that vendor doesn't get your credit card information. Even though you may have loaded a credit card into your phone, they get a promissory token from Apple that this person is good for the money and will pay the money, right? It's a bit like a banknote, I promise to pay the bearer of. So if they can do something similar with age verification, so that Apple can generate a token that says this person is over 16, or over 18, or whatever the requirement is, without identifying the person, then that will be a step forward. But I do worry, because some websites are already inviting people to upload documents like passports and so forth. And I think that's very dangerous, not least because these companies get hacked.
Mm-hmm.
And if they haven't secured the image of your passport or your lease or your other, driver's license or whatever else it is that you've uploaded. But also it just makes it a very different environment, and it makes it much easier for the state to exert surveillance and control over a whole population in the name of child safety.
Yes, exactly. I wonder, let's go back to the infinite scrolling thing, because that is a part of the it of the internet. And it's one of the reasons why reading the news on the internet is such a sort of a stressful and uncomfortable experience, because there is no end to it. Unlike a newspaper, where you know where it ends, there is no more. You fold it up and you put it down and you walk away. But there's no such thing like that on the internet. So if there's going to be restrictions for teenagers to prevent infinite scrolling, that would also apply to news websites, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends what criteria they're how they're going to define social media. And as I say, I think this will be subject of legal challenges, because there'll be the argument that, well, we're not really social media, or that these arguments don't apply to us. So there'll be all sorts of legal challenges to that. But yes, but I would argue that, it's not just under, you don't turn 16 and suddenly become immune to the effects of these things.
Yes, I wondered about that as well. Yeah, I mean, it's such a cutoff point, isn't it? 16. Are you much more mature at 17 than you are at 16?
If you're going to do it by age, you've got to draw the line somewhere, right? Yeah. So I'm sympathetic to that. But my broader point is that these things are often dangerous for 60-year-olds in the way that they are dangerous for 16-year-olds. And I think that the product needs to be made safe for everyone. And also just other things like, you know, don't be spreading disinformation, particularly if you're the owner of a social media website. Don't be doing that. Don't be undermining our democracy deliberately, yeah. Please.
Well, you know, that's a tough one, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, you start to restrict for two reasons. You start to restrict the ability of a trillionaire to express himself, and he's going to come at you with a wall of money in order to make you back down. But the other thing is, where do you draw the line between what is acceptable and not acceptable speech?
I think free speech, you can have free speech, but there might be consequences to shouting fire in a crowded theatre, right? There can be, you can have free speech, but that doesn't mean that you should be absolved of any responsibility. If speech is, you know, found to have caused harm, then there is an argument for being responsible for that. And that's not something that's limited to the internet. Seems to me, and the worry is, that this legislation that's going to be announced later today is a low-hanging fruit. You know, you're not likely to get sued by many people under 16. whereas if you go after, you know, trillionaires, let's say, there are likely to be consequences to that. Well, and political pushback as well.
Yes, but so in that respect, it is quite brave. I mean, I know that Brazil took on X and won, so we can do that too. And I think it was just the threat of a $5 million fine and a lack of access to the Brazilian market that made X back down. So, yes. You know, they're not undefeated. And they're not sort of like superhuman beings and organizations that cannot be thwarted. So, it's a positive thing. And with the Australian the experience, the one thing that I take from it is, okay, so 60% of Australian teens are still accessing social media in some way. But has that... No, it's not even that. Has the ban actually given children permission to not be on social media? Has it given them the excuse that previously they did not have to not be on social media?
That's a valuable point. I mean, some children will be in favor of this ban because it will take some of the pressure off them. And that's like, you know, banning mobile phones in schools. If it's banned by law nationally, that takes the pressure off the schools and it takes the pressure off some of the kids who don't want to be under that pressure. So I'm not saying that these are simple issues to solve, but I would also question, you know, when you bring in laws like this, how are you going to measure success? What measures will you use? Will it be the number of suicides? What will it be? How will you know that it's working and that it's enough and that the problem is solved? And as for pushing back against these big companies, if only there was a large organization, a group of maybe European countries that could come together and speak with a single voice about these things, it would be much easier.
Yeah, no doubt.
I can't think of an organisation like that.
No, me neither. I'm blank. Fevzi, I appreciate that. Thanks so much for your time. That's Fevzi Turkalp, the editor for GadgetDetective.com.